coast to coast and border to border. It's Tailgate Radio.
This week we're going to be talking about the best of game day gadgets, some of the coolest, most innovative, most practical and user-friendly products out there. Let's take a step back and enjoy these segments on the best of game day gadgets this week on Tailgate Radio.
We've got the mastermind behind a tool that you've got to have in your backyard, at your next tailgate party. It's called the Grill Minder. And to talk to us about the Grill Minder is the Grill Meister himself, maybe. We'll talk about his name, Mr. Dan Teicher. Dan, welcome into Tailgate Radio.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Every time I have an inventor, a company that comes in with a great new idea or an improvement over an existing idea, there's always a story behind it. So first of all, before we get into the nuts and bolts of your product itself, tell us a little bit about the mindset of what got you guys started with the product called the Grill Minder.
So it's basically trying to fulfill a need that, you know, in the backyard, grilling out all the time. Find myself a lot of times throwing my food on the grill and, you know, chasing my kids around and, you know, losing track of time. So that's what kind of started it. And, you know, I always looked at my watch or my phone and always kind of forgot what time it was and, you know, I always lost track. So I ended up putting a Timex watch on my actual handle of my grill to remember to set the time. And actually never remembered to actually hit the button. It was kind of rotated down and just, I don't know. So I always thought, you know, maybe there's a way to, every time I want to come back to the grill, it should tell me exactly how long my food's been on. So I figured out a way to do it, and hence the Grill Minder.
If you're somebody like me, and I like to fidget opening the grill, closing the grill, checking on the steak temperature, you're telling me I can kind of get a split time, like in the old slalom days in the Winter Olympics. It's going to tell me exactly the time between my previous visits.
Yep, exactly. So every time you open and close the grill, one of the timers, the last open timers, will reset to zero, and it just starts counting up. The other timer just stays going, and it tells you their total cooking time. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, every time you put your burgers on, you close the grill, you go do what you're doing, you come back and you look at the timer and it tells you, you know, your burgers have been on 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So you open it up, you flip your burgers, you close it, and the bottom timer resets back to zero and the top timer keeps going. So it's pretty simple. That's kind of my theory behind it, is really, really simple, but, you know, really helpful.
Talk to me about the process from the Timex watch to the final product that you've got packaged and out for sale right now. How long a process was that, and how much research and development went into creating the product?
So you talk about you asked about kind of the whole how I came up with it. Well, I had the idea. I'm like, oh, it's got to be out there. So the first couple of months was trying to find it. You know, I assumed there was something else out there like it. So I, you know, went all over the websites and time, you know, different timing companies and couldn't find it. So I figured, hey, you know, I'll make it myself. So I pitched it to a couple of different companies, and one company that makes thermometers and other timing devices and things like that, grill thermometers, remote thermometers, called Maverick Housewares. They liked it. They loved it. And so I partnered with them. So they helped me kind of develop it and kind of go after, you know, the right production side. In the meantime, I did some, you know, patent work and got a, you know, patent pending on the concept or design and everything. So went after that and developed it with them over, you know, a couple of months, and then got a prototype, changed some things here and there, changed them back, you know, made some updates. And so as far as the timeline, it took about probably 2 years from idea to, you know, what I'm holding in my hand, a timer on my grill. So it takes a little while, but we had to do it right, you know.
Did you come from a background of creating products, or was this your first foray into being an inventor?
I've come up with a couple of ideas, but nothing real electronic-based like this. I did, and what I've found is best to partner with somebody who knows what the heck they're doing and not do it all on your own. So work with these guys, and they have the factory contacts and everything. So it definitely helps to lean on someone who's done something similar before, that's for sure.
Yeah. What was the most challenging part of this whole process of getting it out there to the public?
I guess, you know, just making small tweaks. You get a prototype that was almost perfect, but then it wasn't enough weather resistant, so we had to make some changes there because it's something you want to be able to keep on your grill. That's another great thing about it is actually stays on the handle of your grill. You come out, it's there, you push the button to turn it on, and it's good to go. So it's really nice because it's nice and easy and simple, and it's always there. So just kind of making small tweaks to each prototype kind of was a little bit of a hurdle, but something you gotta, you know, you expect.
I'm here with Dan Teicher, the guy behind the Grill Minder. And Dan, one of the questions I wanted to ask is, as far as the design goes, were you involved in the actual design as far as the molding of the plastic and the size of the device and kind of all of those, you know, really small details that go into creating a product like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly pretty close to the first sketch that I did. I sent it over to them, and they kind of made some tweaks and the sizing, they came out with a bigger one that was a little bit too big, so we made it a little smaller to make it, you know, just so it's not too big on the handle there. And, yeah, I was pretty, every step of the way, it was, you know, an integral part, so it was kind of fun to do it. And even more fun to have it, you know, on the grill now and letting it rip.
How can folks get a hold of the Grill Minder? Again, I mean, we're going right into the perfect time of the year for most of the country, into grilling territory for the spring and into the summer.
Yeah, right now you can buy it on our website. It's thegrillminder.com. And actually, we're running a special here with Tailgate Radio. If you follow us on Twitter, tell us you heard about us on Tailgate Radio. We'll reply to you with a $5 off code that you can use on our website. So it's $25, and with that, you get down to $20 delivered to your house. So it's pretty cool deal there, and we'll ship it right away.
Absolutely. Tailgate Nation, you heard it right there. A $5 discount on the Grill Minder for $20. You can have this thing on your grill in a matter of days. So we're going to make sure that we get that out to the masses, and hopefully you'll have a flood of orders coming in for the Grill Minder. What we're going to do at Tailgate Radio is we're going to put a link directly to thegrillminder.com on our site. So if you want to find us through there, you can, or go directly to the website, whatever works best for you. Now, when they go to the website, when they go to thegrillminder.com, what can they find there?
The features and any, you know, frequently asked questions. But we're not selling any other products right on there right now. It just tells about us, has some comments from other customers, and you can just click and buy it and use that $5 off discount, and we'll ship it out to you.
This is not a $150 price point. This is $25. $20 with the Tailgate Radio special discount. This seems to me like it is a no-brainer and should be on the grills of every household throughout America and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because you ask that, because I told a few people about this before we even came out with it. They said, oh, okay, yeah, it's a good idea. You know, it's on your grill. It's always there. You need a timer. But then it doesn't really click on a lot of people that every time you close it, it resets down to zero and starts counting up. And it's, you know, there are thermometers out there. And I saw one little guy the other day. I just happened to be in his house. And he's like, oh, I got something like that. And he looked for 5 minutes and couldn't find it. And he finally pulled out one thermometer, two thermometers, and came up with something that wasn't even close to it. Well, you know, he had to look in 10 different drawers for that thing. This, you know where it is every time. It's on your grill handle waiting to be used every time. So it's a great price point. You know, we find that most guys, yes, you're gonna use a thermometer when you're cooking a lot, but most of the time you're probably not. You're going to be throwing some burgers, some chicken, hanging out. You want to know, you know, how long it's been on there. It always answers that question. How long has my food been on the grill? You always have an answer to that question. Yeah, John, thanks again for having me on. You do a great show, and listen to it every week, and you do a great job. So I appreciate you having me on. All you guys can go to thegrillminder.com, and you can buy your one, two there, however many you want there. And but first of all, go to at thegrillminder, follow us on Twitter, and we'll respond with a $5 off code. If you can contact us through the website, we'll do that as well. Just make sure you told us you heard about us on Tailgate Radio, and we'll get that out to you. And once you get it, grill with it and give us some feedback. Post some pictures. Also on our Twitter account, we're going to be giving grill minders away all summer. People are going to put, we're going to have a contest where you post pictures of your grill and what you're doing at the tailgate. And we're going to pick winners either weekly or monthly, and we'll get some free ones out there too. So definitely follow us on Twitter and tell us about where you heard from us.
Here at the Sports Licensing and Tailgate Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm here with Greg Wilson. He is the head guy.
I'm basically the head of operations, CEO, and president of Wrecking Ball Helmets. I'm also known as Wrecking Ball.
Nice.
That is my, I guess my, not my stage name, but my game name whenever I go out and about.
And for those listening, Wrecking Ball Helmets, I'm looking at your booth, tremendous pop visually. Where did the inspiration for these wearable helmets come from?
Well, it actually goes pretty far back. So I was an officer in the Canadian Air Force, and back in 1995, I was posted to a helicopter squadron in Shearwater, Halifax. And basically what happens on the weekends, you know, you're there's always a barbecue in the summer. So the guys would get together, and one time, you know, they'd have the wives and kids, and one guy decides to come out, and he wears his helicopter helmet on. You know, I don't know if you've seen a helicopter helmet. They're kind of roundish and large. And, you know, obviously he got all the attention. Everyone had a picture with him, and, you know, the girls thought it was cool. And all the guys get jealous. So the next week, the next barbecue, everyone shows up with a helicopter helmet on. Well, then the next guy, and everyone's trying to one-up. So then the third week, someone shows up and paints it like a baseball. Next guy shows up, paints it like a basketball. And afterwards, you're doing it, it's turned into a tradition. So every weekend, we had this thing going on. And I remember sitting back in the mid-90s going, man, this is a great idea, but who the heck's going to buy a $2,000 helicopter helmet and take it to sporting events? So I've always had the idea in my mind. Well, I'm an aerospace engineer by trade. And so I basically reinvented reinvented the helmet, or the ball, so to speak, and found a way of basically downsizing it. Well, I didn't downsize it. The one I'm wearing right now, this enormous one, is the one, the first one I ever made. I thought it was just for myself. I was going to be a fan at a sporting event. And, you know, I showed up to the sporting event not knowing. I thought, oh, man, people are going to think this is awful. I don't think they're going to like it. But the result is the complete opposite. Your reaction is the same as everyone else's reaction. It's a smile.
Yeah.
It's just complete, like, wow, that guy looks like he's having the best time over anyone else. Picture goes, pictures, just like it was when I was in those barbecues back in the military. So to make a long story short, after 200 people a game or more come up to you and ask you to buy a helmet, you say, well, maybe I don't want to just be a fan anymore. I really got to do something with this. So went out, spent the time and got 18 patents applied. And we've so far I've been issued 16 patents. And we basically, if you put a ball on your head for any sport, I own that patent. And we've defended that patent successfully once already with and what's happened now is that we've basically been able to find a way to downscale even the one I make and make a version which is very very aesthetic. You can see it looks good on men, women. It has no demographics. It's blue collar, white collar. No, it's not. We have kids as young as 12 that can wear it and have fun. We have, you know, adults as old as 60 who have fun. And then the first reaction, as soon as you put it on your face, you beam with a smile. Even though you don't see yourself, you know you look funny. And it's a way to show your fandom, right? It's like the ultimate expression of a fan. You know, it's like imagine a cheesehead, but it's not limited to one sport or team. As you can see, I can do any sport, I can do any team, I can almost do any occasion. I have 120 of these things. If I wanted to, I could wear one virtually every day. I could find a reason to wear one. And so that's kind of in a nutshell. That's kind of the morphing of how we got to this point right now.
Now you're a brand new company, right?
Brand new. I've been developing my product under the Wrecking Ball Helmets LLC name for the last 3 years, 4 years actually. But this is the first time where I've had the product. We finally had our overseas manufacturers finally perfected it. It took us over a year and a half to develop the manufacturing side. Very complicated, you know. And I'm not afraid to admit we struggled with manufacturing overseas. We had to use three or four different manufacturers till we got it right. It's your typical story of a young entrepreneur where, you know, you come across failure after failure, but you have to get over that and take the next step and, you know, wipe off your face and get back to it. And then finally we got to this point. And we didn't decide to come here until about 2 weeks ago. So we got the sample and I put it all together. And as you can see, it's the product speaks for itself. I mean, I always know I just got to bring the product here because it's so visually striking. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because I love my product. I just know because I've experienced it at every game. If I walk into a stadium, all eyes are on my product or on me or on my girls.
Right.
We call them ball girls, by the way. And as you can see, they're very perky and very fun. But it doesn't matter if it's girls or guys. It's the same attention across the board.
Now, one question I want to ask you is it comfortable?
Yes, very comfortable. Actually, let me try and show you one real quick here. Let me bring... So, as you can see...
I'm looking at the inside of one of the wrecking ball helmets.
As you can see, the inside, it's fully adjustable. It's got three foam pieces. And see, there's an empty cavity, so there's enough rigidity that if you're a kid, it stays on your head. So what actually holds it in place is the rear support. It has positive, basically keeps it in place, and so it's removable. And so if you're a little kid, it's a bigger insert. If you're a guy with a large head, it's a smaller insert. And it is literally a one-size-fits-all. We have children there wearing the exact same helmet as, say, an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part about me being an engineer is actually I've developed it all. I didn't outsource any of this. I went from what you see on my head, which is completely different. I'm not going to show you. That is proprietary. But to basically work our way to this smaller size, which when it's stadium friendly, it doesn't block your view. But you can take it on and off. That was the other thing too. I don't like face paint. I don't like costumes. And I'm about to show you something real quick. For me, I can transform from super fan to just a regular guy. And this is the same thing. I'm in a game, so I'm watching. Uh-oh, we're on the 5-yard line. It's getting exciting. Time to get your game face on. You get the helmet on, and you're ready. You're ready for the cheering moment. Boom, you cheer, you high five, boom, and you take it off. You're back to normal. And that's what I wanted as a fan. I think a lot of other people want that too. Now, granted, I don't do that. I keep it on the whole game because I've now developed into a super fan, and I was awarded Ultimate Sports Fan from the What a Fan Sports Conference in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
So I was basically for 2014 defined as the best super fan across all sports.
Congratulations!
And it was actually pretty cool. We also worked with a charity called Fans Against Child Abuse at that time, and they won a free car at this conference because of
what?
So for wearing a ball on my head, the positive attention has been crazy.
Yeah.
Just organically by me showing up to events, I've been in over 200 publications, including the Wall Street Journal. They've shown photographically. USA Today, Miami Herald, LA Times, Chicago Tribune, the list goes on and on. Even if you're on American Airlines this week and you go and look at your seat back at the American Way magazine, you'll see a picture of me wearing a Union Jack when I went to the London game.
Nice.
My product was shown on a U.S. Bank commercial. It has been shown in a Pepsi commercial. So I just kind of go out and get that kind of fun exposure.
It happens organically, it sounds like.
It's the purest grassroots form of a product. It's almost the American dream, you know, where the idea, and this is what everyone says, it's so stupid and obvious. It's just a ball on your head. How come I didn't think of that? And you're right. It does seem like such an obvious idea, but yeah, I was lucky enough. When I went to go get it patented, I wasn't sure if I was going to get it. And then, sure enough, they said, I effectively own a patent on a ball. You know, and how that's like owning a patent on a will. You know, and that's what I'm proud of, is that I'm actually proud of that intellectual property side of it too. And I recommend that if I didn't do that step, I would never have the confidence to go forward with it right now, because it has been a tremendous amount of time, money, effort to do what we've done. So
I can tell you, you stand out here, and the whole point of this show is for businesses to stand out. And amongst all of those, you have one of the most vivid colors. Most attraction to your booth, exciting for you. I'm really excited for you because I think as a new company, you're going to see tremendous success with this. And you're still in your infancy as far as getting it out.
Oh, and actually, not only that, what's cool about it, I agree with you because this is – It is like it is. It's such a fun product. That's the best part. As I always tell people, that like our motto is "Life is a ball." You know, it's about like, listen up, America. Heads are gonna roll. I mean, if you see it, like everyone who interacts with us just smiles. It's not business. It's mixing business with pleasure, because if it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. And at the end of the day, I always tell people this. I know I have a product here, but I'm a fan first. I still am a fan first, and that'll never change. So no matter what happens, I'm still going to be the same old wrecking ball at all the sporting events.
Yeah.
You know, cheering on my team, because that's where that passion comes from. And
I was going to ask you, so where can people take a look at this? Because I know on a podcast, for them to visualize it, they need to see something. We're going to have some photos posted on our website, but where can they check out your product?
Well, so right now, like I said, this is the first time we've introduced it. My website is www.wreckingballhelmets.com. Wrecking is without the G, like, because we are from Texas. And then bottom line, and by the way, everyone always asks about wrecking ball. I was a wrecking ball before Miley Cyrus even knew what twerking was. So we've always had, and you know, wrecking ball was always known with sports vernacular. You know, either a really strong, awesome play or a player that was just dominating in his field. So for me, it was an obvious connection, and I just got lucky that I got a theme song out of it. You know, and then basically, if you go to that website, they'll see that you know, we're set up for wholesale orders, and we're also doing pre-sales for several items. But right now, our focus right now is just to get our name out there, let people know, hey, we've just arrived, and in a very short amount of time, we're going to be able to purchase our product.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, I want to appreciate I appreciate you taking time to let us come and talk to you. Best of luck at the show.
All right.
And come on, we're based in San Antonio. Come down there. I know it might hurt you to put some Spurs gear on.
Well, you know, so my wife is from San Antonio, and what's funny, we always talk about it. Like, whenever we go to the Mavs Spurs games, it's crazy. And I actually have made a Spurs helmet for her once. We have a little niece who was a big Spurs fan at the time. And so I've had to, you know, and I've done that. But my loyalty is to the Mavs. But you know, I agree, though. I mean, It's something. I mean, we always talk about it. That was the one thing that we didn't know when we first started dating, is that we're gonna be like, there's one day a year where I'm sleeping on the sofa.
That's right.
And that's when the Mavs play the Spurs. And
that's right.
And that is the passion of sports in our lives, and that even affects your relationship with your spouse.
And you know what's interesting, though, during football season, I think San Antonio has a higher percentage of Cowboy fans than the Dallas area.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, and the Cowboys. See, I grew up in Canada, so you know, it wasn't just America's team; it was also Canada's team. But that's also happened. I think back in the 70s, 80s, the Cowboys games always had broadcasting over the borders.
Right, right.
So I think that's why we've always seen that, because the Cowboys always had the highest ratings.
Yeah, and I actually went to a Grey Cup a couple of years ago and had a fantastic time.
So which one did you go to?
That I went to the one in Ottawa.
Oh, Ottawa, yes. Yeah. And you know, I've been to a Grey Cup. Way back, I think it was the 97th one. It was a really fun Grey Cup as well.
This one was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
we had
a
blast.
And you know, they are fun. The Canadians have a fun way of not taking themselves too seriously, and that's also another inspiration. My mother is a 22-year breast cancer survivor, and she's always been had this ideal of like, never take yourself too seriously, live your life with a smile every day, and be. Always live life to its fullest, and this is almost a testament to her because of that attitude and that passion for life.
Well, I can tell you, she's probably very proud of you, because if there's anybody that's been, I've been watching from over there, and then when I came over, and you've had a smile on your face the whole time.
Oh, so yeah, that's
you're definitely living your mother's lifestyle is having a good time.
Oh, so. Yeah, and I know, and she, next year, I'm sure we'll be able to get her down here too, and she'll be able to enjoy it for herself. So life is a ball, just like we always say, and it's like if I could do it again, I wouldn't change a thing. I'd just keep doing it. Because I've met some of the best friends of my life I've met doing this. I've had some of the best experiences. I've met some of the coolest people. I mean, like I said, this has brought me close to a world. You know, I've gotten to meet my sports heroes over the last few years. You know, and it's just opportunities that you wouldn't normally get. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen, because when I think it can't get any bigger, it just keeps getting bigger.
Anytime someone takes a good idea
and makes it great. I want to know about these people and what they're doing. And this gentleman I've got on the hotline this week is no exception. He is the inventor, creator, and head man over at King Pong. Welcome into Tailgate Radio, everybody, Vin Convertito.
Hey, how you doing today? Love that intro. I'm very excited about King Pong. And for everyone listening, I have to agree with what you said. This is a great new way to play Pong and a great way to make a classic game like Pong that much more fun for old and young alike.
Pong is played in parking lots, in game rooms, in man caves across the world, but you have got a new spin on it. Tell me a little bit, first of all, before we get into the nuances of the changes or the improvements you've made on Pong, tell me a little bit about your background and what inspired you to decide to make some changes to the great game we all know as Pong.
Good question. So, growing up, you know, as a guy who loved to entertain and have parties, I'd always found that, you know, if you set up a table and you put some red cups out, that people would kind of gain a little momentum and gather around and, you know, you would play Pong and it kind of, you know, always seemed to make a party more happening. But as the days went on, the years rolled by, it seemed like Pong had lost its luster. Not that it became cliche, but, you know, you weren't getting the people to sign up. It didn't seem as intense. And I just kept joking with everybody. We need to do something more. We need to elevate this game. We need to kick it up a notch. And when I had said I would love to play on a pyramid, you know, kind of got the idea from this spice rack, and I'm going, I'd love to kind of build something that we could make a tower out of this. And next thing you know, my buddies all thought it was a great idea, and I started making some cardboard prototypes just for my friends to play. They all loved it.
Now, do you come from an engineering background, or have you created other products in your past?
This is the first one that I'm bringing to market, but as a young guy, I'd always loved drawing, I always loved writing, and, you know, I do a lot of construction on the side, so I've kind of made some of my own tools in the past that were just to help me with, like, my stonework and stuff, some tools to pick up stones that I made out of bending metal and creating hooks and kind of redesigned some of my trowels that I use for doing tile work. But I never really took it to the next step of, you know, reaching out to a professional engineer. And it just happened by chance that a gentleman that I coach with wanted to hear more about King Pong, and he was in a position to help us. He's an engineer, and he took my sketches and my drawings, and he said, you know, let me turn this into a file for you.
That's a great story, and you know, one of the cool things, first of all, I love the name, and I love the gorilla as your mascot, and I'm sure that has to go with King Kong. And you said, okay, this is a great play on words, and I love it. It's very eye-catching. So first of all, kudos on your branding and your logo.
Thank you. I'll say thank you to my buddy Dan DeSorbo for helping me bring those ideas to life. Another guy that I went to college with who's actually in the beer pong business himself, he's been helping me a lot, having kind of gone through these processes before. But as a graphic designer, he was able to take my sketches of what I wanted to be, you know, a softer, friendlier, you know, more kind of Homer Simpson-like King Kong as our mascot. And so we came up with that guy, and I dig him. I think he's a good party animal to represent us.
I'm here with Vin Convertito. He's the creator of King Pong. Now, as far as the game goes, and I know a lot of times it's a little difficult to convey how the game looks and is played on a podcast and on the radio. So what we're going to do is we're going to put some links to your website. We'll also put up some photos on our page so that people can take a look at it and certainly go over to your website and learn more about it. But in a nutshell, tell me how you have altered the game of Pong, and you know, I know it at this, you have to do things that make it fun, make it challenging, and give you more I guess a diversity of games. So tell me a little bit about that and how you came about the rules, and how does one create an improvement on, you know, making a better mousetrap?
in a nutshell, classic King Pong could be played just the way you would play regular beer pong. So the way I might play with different rules in Connecticut, having gone to UConn and partied there, might be different than how you grew up playing it in Texas. And I think that's what's great about it, is that even when you play regular pong, everybody's got their different rules, and you know, you establish it beforehand. But with King Pong, it's basically an inverted tiered version of the game. So instead of having your cups 1, 2, 3, and 4 at the back row, King Pong sets it up where you're 4 in the front, 3 on a second tier, 2, and then 1 at the top. So you know, the game has kind of a 3D element to it. It's got a little bit more of a challenge where, you know, I think it just makes it more exciting to go for that back cup that's standing tall versus a row of four. But we like to play with the same idea that you get to use, you know, racks throughout the game to kind of level the playing field if you got a lead. And it's a great thing where I think it just draws people to the table because it's different and it's more fun to play. I always joke when someone makes a cup for the first time, doesn't it feel just so much better when it's with King Pong? And the crowd agrees. You get re-excited to be playing Pong again. And I think that was the whole point of the game, is to try to bring back that enthusiasm for playing Pong.
This pyramid shape actually can be broken into four equal parts, so you can actually have a four-way Pong game going with different teams.
Oh, yeah. So that's where King Pong transforms to the size of your party. And not to say it was a happy accident, but it was kind of a happy accident where the original intent was just to create a game of Pong that was inverted and tiered, but when my engineer was able to make me four prototypes, I put them together. I saw that it formed a giant 360 of a big round party cake-like thing, and I said, this is going to change the game. I said, now we're actually going from improving on a classic to introducing a whole new party game for people that could be played on a smaller table in a smaller environment with more players, with more teams, with different rules. So it's been really fun to just see people say, well, hey, we could play King Pong later. Let's play 360. Let's get it going. And all of a sudden, you know, people are playing knockout games and call the shot, and it's been pretty electric to see people excited just for something, you know, as branching off as it is. It's still, you know, a party drinking game for outside, for a tailgating event, for a picnic, for a birthday party, and it's been fun. So we actually ended up creating a few variations. In addition to the 360, we do one where we put two sets together for a 20v20. We ended up putting them on each corner of the table for a four corners type of game. But we like to think that the possibilities are endless, and I can't wait to hear what people end up telling me they're doing with King Pong.
I'm here again with Vin Convertito. He's the head man over at King Pong. And Vin, I have to ask you, because we have a lot of people that listen to the show that have great ideas, that are going through the process or thinking about the process of bringing something to market. What's been your experience with that, and is some good advice?
Definitely. This is my first product that I'm bringing to market, and it's been such a learning experience. But the bottom line is, and I told you before, I had a lot of great ideas for some other products with tools and some other, you know, kind of thoughts that I've had, but this was the one that I decided to focus on. And it was just a matter of everybody's got something that they want to do in their life that they keep putting off. And when everybody kept asking me, when are you going to bring King Pong to life? When are you going to get it to market? I said, you know what? I don't want to be telling people that I'm getting to it. I'm getting it to it. And when my engineer helped me out and really helped to get me on the right track with prototypes and bringing it to life, I felt that much more confident. And just chipping away at it every day has been, you know, it's a very slow-going process for anyone that wants to get into bringing a product to market or seeing something through. But, you know, you don't get it done overnight, but you got to start doing it. So the best advice I could give somebody is to, you know, focus on it and just start making a checklist of things to get done, things to accomplish. And it's amazing how, you know, interesting it is. I never thought I would be designing a package for a game product like this, but here I am working with a designer, going over, you know, what the box should look like, what all the copies should say on it, and it's been neat. It's been a It's an overwhelming process, but it's very rewarding to see it happening.
Where do you see King Pong in 5 years? Where do you envision the game being out there in the public domain? And
certainly, it's right now. I got to be realistic and say, you know, I just hope that this really takes off and I break even on my initial investment, because I am spending a lot of my own money to get this going. But it's something I believe in. But I would love it for, you know, my buddy Jimmy Fallon on the Late Show to play it with his guests and to really, you know, make it kind of a staple for all future Pong players, or someone like Rob Gronkowski to a party animal like him to endorse it. But seeing strangers play it that I've given prototypes to blows my mind. So I think the ultimate vision for King Pong is for me to be at my next country concert at the tailgate event and to see people that I've never met before playing King Pong, but more so than seeing them play it, to see them having fun, you know, or to show up, you know, at a party and know that somebody's already playing King Pong, not because they knew me and bought it to support me, but because they just wanted something different. And I think that's kind of the ultimate vision, is to find out that people love having get-togethers, love having parties, love tailgating, that they want King Pong at their event.
Before we go, Vin, how can people find out more about King Pong, learn more about the product, and purchase their own version of the game to bring home to their next? You know, this is, you know, we're going to be doing something the entire month of July called Tailgate Training Camp, where every week we're going to be focusing on different games, different products that are going to be, you know, we always say, the players have to get ready for the season at training camp, but so do the tailgaters. There's new equipment, there's new gear. So we want to make sure that our listeners, the Tailgate Nation, has the latest and greatest out there. And this certainly fits that mold. How can they find out more about the product, and how can they purchase their own?
Well, right now, if they're going to get onto any website, I would suggest that they go right to Kickstarter and find our product. And they could pre-order it now. It'll be out in late summer. As far as my shipment goes, it'll arrive in August, and I'll be sending them out to everybody that pre-ordered them. But otherwise, if you want to check out our website, it's kingpongshop.com, and we have a bunch of videos on there. We're on Vimeo. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. If you type in King Pong, you should be sure to find us. But the Kickstarter campaign is very important to us right now. We're really trying to gain some momentum and reach an audience that is outside of my own to introduce it to new people. And the same thing, the website, if you got a couple of minutes, go check out some videos and get a couple laughs, because as serious as this is for me to get going, we had to keep the videos light, because King Pong is all about having a good time and getting good people that you care about together to party.
Vin Convertito, the owner, creator, head guy over at King Pong, I want to thank you so much for coming into Tailgate Radio this week. We wish you all the success. We will put up the Kickstarter link, your website link, and some photos and videos on our website. And we'll push some out through our social media as well to our rabid and very engaged Tailgate Nation. Thank you again for coming into Tailgate Radio this week.
Hey, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you, and I can't wait to send a King Pong set your way so that you guys can keep the party going.
That's awesome, folks. That's Vin Convertito with King Pong. Check him out. We'll have the links on our website, and we'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this. All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank you for listening in and downloading this week's show. I want to remind you, you can hear our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, and at our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter account at Tailgate Radio. And as we always say here, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.